Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. The redemptive work on the cross was just about finished, and Jesus was extremely thirsty. The Roman soldiers offered him a drink on a sponge, and the onlookers gazed in morbid curiosity and waited for the inevitable end. Finally, Jesus cried aloud that it was finished. It was the end of the beginning, and the hidden wisdom of the Godhead was on display for all to see. We really should appreciate our salvation that was made possible by Jesus' blood that was shed for you and me. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad that you're here today, as we're going to look upon some of the events that took place after Jesus had been crucified. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that Jesus, you came and you took the sins away from us, that we can be forgiven. Help us today as we look upon these events that took place at Golgotha, that we will learn to appreciate you and to be thankful that you, Jesus, the Son of God, came down, paid for our sins, and gave us a chance to be born again and live with you in heaven forever. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We left Jesus, his body was on the cross. And before he left his body, the God-man knew the redemption work was just about finished. He was extremely dehydrated. By this point, from fatigue, loss of blood, and more likely the heat of the day. This is why he called out for something to drink. John 19:28, we read this. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Picture Jesus speaking that through his broken lips, cracked lips of dried out. And he was fulfilling a prophecy. In Psalm 69:21, and you have that on your outline. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Throughout the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit inserted prophecies about the coming Messiah. And no one really understood it. It was not understood until it actually took place on Golgotha. The vessel of vinegar was not the same drink offered to Jesus at the beginning of the crucifixion, because that was a sedative. That was to numb him. It was probably brought by a Roman soldier to enjoy while I waited for the inevitable end. A sponge was dipped into the container, put on a reed, hyssop, branch, and extended to Jesus' mouth because of the height difference. In Matthew 27:48, we read this. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. In Mark 15, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, we read the following. It's Mark 15 and verse number 36. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, put on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And then in John 19:29, that's John 19, verse 29. Now there was a set vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, put on hyssop, and put to his lips, his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The cruel and relentless mocking turned into a morbid curiosity as the onlookers waited in vain for Elijah to appear and rescue the King of the Jews. In Matthew 27, back to Matthew 27, we read this from verse number Matthew 27:49. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elijah would come to save him." And in Mark 15, verse number 36, we read this. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put on the reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." I want you to think about this now. The last moments of Jesus, but he stayed in a body. When Jesus stayed in that physical body that his mother Mary and the Holy Spirit had given him, he could feel the physical pain. But probably more than the physical pain was this. He was surrounded by a bunch of people that mocked him. He also had people that had followed him that believed in him. Do you understand how hard it must have been for Jesus? Looking down upon the high priest, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Romans, and so they simply mocking him. And Jesus saying, "I am dying here for you. I'm paying for your sins. Shouldn't you be thankful?" Do you understand the temptation of Jesus simply say, you know, got angry? Let's say that you are doing something good for a person. And you might give them some money, or you might help them out with a car or some food or whatever it is. And after you've given them a lot of things, the person comes up unto you and say, "I hate you." How would you feel? You would say, "Well, I did all of this for that person. He hates me." You would blow your stack. You would call him some names. You would say, "I'll never give you anything anymore. You're the most worthless, useless idiot I ever met. I'm sorry that I even gave you anything. Choke and go and die." You know, we get pretty upset from time to time. If somebody crosses, you know, we know how to get angry. And Jesus now, for 3 hours, had been on the cross, mocking him. Do you understand? Jesus loved you and me so much that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. I want to read here from Psalm. You have that on your outline. And this is what was written. This is actually a prophetic psalm. "But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of man, despised of the people. All they see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, 'He trusted in the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he's delighted in him. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melt in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you have brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I might tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not you far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste you to help me. That's Psalms 22, 6 through 8, and verses 14 and 19. Back in Matthew 27, 15. And when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. The cross didn't kill Jesus. Jesus had said prior to this, no man takes my life. I lay it down and I pick it up. Can you imagine the relief that Jesus felt after he had that last drink of vinegar? And he said, it is finished. And he simply left the body to hang on the cross, and he went to paradise. When you had projects in your life, maybe built something, maybe had a job, maybe wrote something, whatever it is, you know how good it feels on the last day on a job or the last day you had to work on it, and you realize, I finished it, it's good, I did it. And you walk away and said, it's finished. You know how good you feel? That's what Jesus felt. He simply said, I went through hell, so to say. But I did finish it. It's behind me now. It's gone. In Mark 15:37, that's the Gospel of Mark 15:37. You read the following. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Was he sad over his body? Probably not. Because he knew that he was going to be resurrected. He was part of the payment for our sins. In John 19:30, let's flip over to John here. At John 19:30, we read this. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Let's go to page number 2. Luke noted that Jesus cried out a prayer which he commanded his spirit to God the Father, and then departed, leaving the body hanging on the cross. If you turn to Luke chapter 23 and verse number 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I command my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. At this point, he simply said, Father, I command my spirit to you. He gave up himself to the Father. Angels took him to paradise. And it was done. In Revelation 13:8, that's Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8, we have this information. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So the crucifixion and the judgment of Jesus had been decided before anything was created, as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had been looked through the time in advance. It was predetermined. And because Jesus, the Son of God, he could keep it. This is the moment when this took place, that all the holy angels recognized with admiration the hidden wisdom of God. The same cannot be said for the fallen angels, who realized too late that the Godhead had outsmarted them. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we pick it up in verses 6 and 8. Ended up in 2 Corinthians. That's not good. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 6 and 8. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world, that's Satan and his fallen angels, they come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world, unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When Jesus said, it is finished, Lucifer realized, wow, this was the redemption. I missed it. He said, if I would have known that, I would have never had Jesus crucified. I would have been his fiercest defender. I would have told all the fallen angels, all the demons, let's guard Jesus. Make sure that no one harms him. We want him to die of old age so that he cannot pay for the sins of the world. If you really think about when Jesus was on earth, when he started out, he told his apostles, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to get crucified, and I'm going to be resurrected. But Jesus, catch this now. Jesus never told his 12 apostles, on the cross, I'm going to pay for the sins of the human race. He never told them that. He told them, I'm going to go, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be resurrected. Not even the apostles knew it. No one in the creation knew what took place on Calvary. God the Father, God the Son kept that secret. And then when it was finished, then the truth was out. And Satan said, I got outsmarted. Think about that. The promise made to Adam 4,000 years earlier was satisfied. The heel of Jesus had been bruised, but the head of Lucifer had been crushed. Genesis 3:15. Genesis, first book of the Bible, 3:15. And we read this. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Fulfilled. The apostles believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but they were looking for him to establish the kingdom of Israel. None of them understood about eternity. None of them understood that you have to have a payment of sin. They lived in the now, but couldn't see into the future. In Luke chapter 23, unless the scripture here, so we have Luke chapter 23, and we're going to pick it up in verses 42 and 43. And Jesus said to him, Verily I said to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. So Jesus told them, I'm going to paradise. And he did. And I believe that angels swooped down when Jesus left the body, took him around him, and escorted him into paradise. We're going to talk about paradise next week. But there was a lot of joy in paradise when Jesus showed up. The prophetic words of Jesus continue to be fulfilled. In Matthew 20, 18 through 19, and you have it on the outline. The Son of Man shall be betrayed at the chief priests and the scribes. They shall condemn it to death. They shall deliver it to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and to crucify him. And on the third day he shall rise again. I want again to take you back to this. I want you to think about this now. Jesus did not say here to the apostles, look, this is why I'm going there. He simply said, they're going to deliver me to the Gentiles. I'm going to be mocked. They're going to scourge me. And they're going to crucify me. But I will come back on the third day. But he never told them, I'm doing this to pay for the sins of the human race. If Jesus would have said that, the devil would have said, no crucifixion here. Getting away from the cross. Don't let him get close to the cross. Most of us have read the Gospels, and it never occurred to us that the secret of the redemption was never told to the apostles. They were told, he's going to suffer, be arrested, scourged, crucified, rise on the third day. But they had no clue why. Do you understand that afterwards, the apostles, that's why Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians, if the princes of this world would have known that, they would have never crucified Jesus. That was a secret kept until Jesus said, it is finished. That finishes message today here about this phase on the cross for Jesus. Next week we're going to get into paradise. And up to now it has been sad. But next week it's going to be happy, because now Jesus has finished the work, and now the good stuff is coming. Amen. So you've been listening to me today, and I hope that when I spoke today earlier before my message, which if you're watching it live and you're in the webcast on our website, I pray that today, the two things I want you to take with you home. Take time this afternoon and start asking God for forgiveness. You're saved, our sins are forgiven, but let's begin to identify with the country and say, Father God, I want to repent for the abortions. I want to repent for homosexual marriages is passed. I want to repent as a nation what we have done. Forgive us, Lord. And then also realize this. Your redemption is complete. It is finished. We got a week or less to go for the election is over. And at this point, I don't know which way it's going to go. I do know this. Regardless what the outcome is, I'm going to serve the Lord. Jeremiah, when Israel fell, the Babylonians came. Jeremiah, the king of Babylon, had sent word and said, take care of Jeremiah. Don't let any harm come to him. We still need to get people saved. We still need to do deliverances. We still need to occupy until Jesus comes. So let's pray and ask God, please, please save our nation. Now, you are not saved, and you heard me today. And I want to, every day, I do, actually Sunday when I preach, to give you the salvation. If you said, how do I get born again? How do I become a Christian? You took the first step by simply asking, how do I become a Christian? Acknowledge you're a sinner, and you know that you are a sinner. Then say this, God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, he paid for our sins, and we can be saved. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Father God, forgive me for my sins. Jesus saves me, and he will. When we finish here, the screen will change, three crosses will come up, and you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell saying, my friend, and he will spend 10 minutes with you to make sure that you are saved and you understand what salvation is. Will you do that today? Will you contact us, write us, call us? I want to rejoice with you. God bless you as you make that decision for Christ.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for a wonderful service. Thank you, Lord God, that we're able to stand here and still be free in America. And Lord God, I just pray and ask you, please forgive me for the sins of America. Forgive me for the sins in my life. Lord God, I pray and ask you, Lord God, to help me forgive for what is going on in this country. Lord God, I pray and ask you, all Christians, pray for each other. Pray for freedom in America. Pray for we make the right decisions in this country, Lord God, that will carry us through and we'll be able to stay free in America until such time that the Lord decides to return. And I just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something? Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 83rd part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, It Is Finished. Jesus knew that the redemptive work on the cross was just about finished, and He was extremely thirsty from blood loss and fatigue. The Roman soldiers offered Him a drink on a sponge, and the onlookers gazed in morbid curiosity and waited for the inevitable end. Finally, Jesus cried aloud, "It is finished." Then He left the physical body He inhabited because the redemptive work was done. Humanity had been redeemed. It was the end of the beginning. Angels recognized with admiration the plans of the Godhead from eternity past were now fulfilled. The hidden wisdom of God was on display for all to see. The penalty for Adam's sin had been paid in full, and the old covenant had been replaced with a new covenant. Jesus suffered horribly on the cross, and we should appreciate our salvation that was made possible with his broken body and the blood that was shed for you and me. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1986. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.